Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
I love it, JD. New intro here for the late shift. What's up, everybody? I'm Skeets with No Dunks, part of the Athletic Network. Shout out to the stream team joining me live here late on a, what is it? Tuesday night. That's right. Yes, people loving the new intro in the stream team. Shout out to everybody listening to this podcast as well. A little mini pod to get you ready for your normal No Dunks live at 10 a.m. Eastern. Game one, immediate reacts to the Heat taking game one. 118-107. What a third quarter. What a game from Jimmy Butler. Holy shnikes. What did he finish with? 41-9-5-4-3. Four steals, three blocks there at the end. First player in NBA playoff history to reach those numbers since steals and blocks were first recorded in 1974. That's not bad. That's a pretty good Jimmy game. Just a crazy, crazy second half and really third quarter from the Miami Heat. But we'll break it all down here. Do 15 or 20 minutes, like I said, and then hit you with the normal No Dunks at 10 a.m. Eastern live tomorrow from the Classic Factory. So if you're new here, maybe it's your first time jumping in, hit the like button, subscribe to No Dunks, and maybe we'll keep doing these through the conference finals and then through the finals. What a day, though, for No Dunks. Before we get into the game, holy, did we call it or did we call it? Coming through with Trey Kirby picking the correct Easter egg on today's show, pulling out the little piece of paper, and was it Sebastian or was it Oscar, one of Lee's sons? We're not sure which one. Drawing that little magic logo, calling the number one overall pick going to the Orlando Magic there in the draft lottery tonight. So that was awesome. And then we got a block wedgie tonight. Dare I say one of the greatest wedgies we've ever seen when you consider like when it's happening, game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, who's involved in it? Bam Adebayo, an all-star, of course, before on another all-star in Jaylen Brown, right? It was on Brown. Correct me in the stream team if I'm wrong. Just pinning that thing was a violent block wedgie. Twitter went nuts. Instagram went nuts. Tagging at No Dunks Inc. So it was absolutely fantastic. So what a night. What a just a beautiful night. We're predicting the draft lottery. We're getting a wedgie, number 43 on the season, if you're keeping track. And then we got a great game. A tough game when it comes to making a thumbnail for this show. First half, I'm like, well, it's all Tatum. He had 21 at the half. I'm like, okay, he's still rolling. He was looking like unlocked, I guess is the best way to put it. He's like, oh, I'm not in jail anymore playing against Giannis and Brooke Lopez inside. I'm free. Ugh, I can breathe. And he was cooking, but holy crap, did the Heat, and we talked about this, Spoelstra, man, he finds a way to make you feel a little more uncomfortable. And with Tucker coming back there after tweaking his ankle and just that defense locking in, he barely got shots up. How many shot attempts did he even have in the second half? I don't have that specific breakdown, but I know it wasn't a ton. It must have been, five total, something like that? Crazy, crazy stuff. I had Tatum as the thumbnail, and then I'm switching it up to, a more generic, which is what I went with, Robert Williams, who had a great, first half there, and then was cramping up. Been there before, Robert. with Bam on the thumbnail. And then at the end, I'm like, Jesus, I should be making this Jimmy. Because again, 41 points, 9 boards, 5 assists, 4 steals, 3 blocks. Jesus. 12 of 19 shooting, living at the line, 17 of 18. He had a lot of my Twitter followers or tweets that I was seeing starting to figure out, Jesus, Jimmy Butler, how does he avoid the criticism that some of the other guys in the league that live at the free throw line? Why is his name not included? Because people get upset when a guy goes to the line a lot. You know, maybe he is crafty at drawing the fouls. And it's true. I mean, Jimmy's great at it. He gets there. But a lot of people are like, well, he's likable. He's oddly likable, so no one gets as upset when he's shooting 18 free throw attempts. I don't know. Maybe there's some truth to that. But what a game. I see somebody here in the stream team pointing out that I'm feeling good about my Heat prediction. I swerved. I went with Miami in 7. Everybody on the No Dunks crew, everybody else, I should say, taking Celtics in 6 or 7. It feels like 95% of people out there taking Boston in the series. It all makes sense. And so I was being a contrarian a little bit. I'd picked against Boston in the previous 2 series. So a little tongue-in-cheek continuing to go against them. But I'm not going to like go, yeah, look at me, called this series. I wasn't doing that if you remember in game 1 of the Bucks-Celtics series when Milwaukee won. I was like, okay, that's good. They probably had to get that one. This is far from over. And, of course, we know how that ended. So Miami had to have this one, though, especially with, like, what, the late-breaking news. No Horford. Health and safety protocols. Whoa. And then no Marcus Smart, which, you know, we knew he, I guess, had the foot injury, I believe it was, right, in game 7. I guess I just assumed, I think a lot of people assumed he would just sort of, tough it out or whatever. He'd be good enough, I should say, to go. I mean, the guy's a SOB. So, I mean, if he could have played, I'm sure he wanted to play, for crying out loud. Like, okay, come on, you can barely move. But that's a shock. So to have two of those guys, two of your starters out of the starting lineup was going to make life way more difficult, which is why the Heat really needed to have this one. And it was not looking great for especially the first quarter. I saw Coach Thorpe with True Hoop. He had a great tweet, I thought. He says, you know how when you walk on one of those speed belts at an airport and you first walk off of one and you're like going way faster than your normal walk? That's what was happening in this game. The Celtics had just got off the speed belt, but the Heat were stationary. So it was like they gotta figure out, catch up to like this speed of this game and the intensity, because the Heat had so much time off. Celtics coming off that crazy series against the Bucks. And I think there was a lot of truth to that. And Celtics were up at the end of the first quarter, but I really thought things changed when Hero came in about midway through the first. And he sparked like a little bit of a Heat run. He hit a 3. He had 3 quick dimes. And he just unlocked a little bit of something. He had that beautiful pass. Was that in the first or second quarter that hit ahead to Jimmy Butler? He just gave him like a little bit of life offensively. Because you had White with smothering defense. He was looking like Smart. You had Tatum, I thought, playing great defense. You had Time Lord. He was in the head of everybody on the Heat. If he wasn't blocking them, they were like, where is he? And like rushing shots around the rim and stuff like that. So great start from them. I wrote in my notes for this game, which looks silly now, but I was like, this is the first quarter, mind you. I was like, this moment's looking a little too big for Gabe Vincent and Max Strus. I thought they looked shook early on. And I think there was some truth to that when I put that down in my notes, especially Strus. He had the quick foul trouble. But did those guys bounce back? I mean, in the end, Gabe Vincent, 17. You know, fantastic. 5 of 10, hit 3 threes. Strus also hit 3 threes, some timely ones. He finished with 11. So, I mean, especially Gabe Vincent, I thought, had an even better game than Max Strus. But they found the rhythm of the game, to go back to Thorpe, the speed of the game there. And I thought they were, you know, pretty great from there on out. But, yeah, that's, as I go through the rest of my notes here, I guess the shock was that third quarter. And I think Tucker being able to play, of course, massive. He was just, he had like figured out a little bit sort of where Tatum wanted to go on the floor, counters to it. I mean, he's just such a smart defender. The whole team is. I mean, the defense alone on this floor from both squads, like the blocks. I mean, we had the Bam Wedgie block, but like the Tice block, which was mad clean. You know, like how many blocks were there total in this game? Jesus, like felt like there was like 30. You had 12 from the Heat, 8 from the Celtics. Okay, there's 20. That's a lot of blocks. And a lot of like really intense, like clean, crazy blocks, which made really enjoyable game if you're a defensive sicko like some of us are. But that 24-2 start in the third quarter just, you know, blew this one open for Miami. Felt like they were like there was that stretch. And I remember Tass had talked about this, like watching game one, the Heat will go on that 6 to 7 minute stretch where like it feels like you can't score on them. And that happened. It felt like they were blocking or stealing the ball every single time. I think that their defensive intensity, obviously they cranked up in the second half as they caught up to the game speed and playing Boston and figuring them out. And like, oh yeah, this is a lot different than the Hawks and Philly, but the Celtics were, they were pretty sloppy as well. It was, you know, really careless with the ball, especially out on the perimeter where a lot of these were coming, just straight up cookies or just getting a hand in there, deflection, or not seeing the guy coming from, you know, like sort of hiding behind the offensive player. I think it was Hero sort of hiding behind Tatum, sort of just a lazy pass. You think it's easy, just give it to our guy, and whoop, he comes from behind and popped it out. And yeah, the game was, you know, if look, it never, I guess it wasn't over. What, the Celtics had it to 10 with like 8 minutes to go, and they stuck around hitting some threes. Final score, you know, again, 118-107, 31-25, 4 Boston in the fourth quarter. So they were still there. You know, we had the Grant Williams little huddle because he's all mic'd up telling the guys to stay with it and stuff like that. A lot of Grant Williams. That guy, I think I'd really like him on my team. I think you would, but talks a lot. Seems like he talks a lot. I wonder, like, some of those guys, like Tatum and Brown and Smart and, like, you know, even the vets like Horford and, like, do they just tune him out? Because he does have, like, that little brother vibe to him. You're like, all right, okay, you've said that. We get it. We're all trying to play our ass off. I'm not trying to pile on Grant Williams. I'm sure he's an awesome guy. I'm sure he's an awesome teammate, but I think some of you know what I'm probably talking about. Just like you start to like tune it out a little bit. You're like, okay, man, are you only doing this too? Cause you're mic'd up. I always wonder that. Always questioning that. But yeah, he was obviously in a little bit of foul trouble in this game. I'm looking at the rest of the box score. I mean, again, Time Lord had a wicked game, 18-9, 6 of 8, cramped up, had the scary fall on the flagrant one. What did everybody think of that? Let me know in the stream team. Bam for Jesus. It looked like he was boxing out and Robert Williams is jumping and Bam is moving, falls hard. And so they went and looked at it. I mean, we had a nice stretch where Zach Zarba, Ed Malloy and Tony Brothers said, "Hey, hey, hey, don't forget about me. Look at this cut I got. Look at this nice haircut I got. I would love to show this off to my family on national television. Let's look at some reviews. Let me look at a monitor so everybody can see this clean cut." But that was, I don't know. That's, to me, that's tough. I mean, it's tough on a box out, but I guess they said it was dangerous and that got the flagrant one. So some people saying clear flagrant, some people saying ridiculous. Hey, usually that's how it goes. We're not all going to come to a consensus on this. But, yeah, obviously, at least he continued to play in the game and then really just appeared to be cramping up for a guy that hadn't played a whole bunch and then was playing very hard and playing really well, like I said, to the point where then, you know, I should say good teammate Grant Williams, giving him a little massage there. Got to get him down on his back, though. Get that leg up, you know, all my runners know. Get some salt in you there.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
So it'll be interesting moving forward in this series. I think most people, when we heard the news of Horford and Smart being, I was like, well, yeah, the Heat are going to win. But, you know, again, it wasn't easy. They got contributions from Hero, like I talked about in the first quarter and first half especially. And then Vincent and Strus came alive hitting some threes. And then Jimmy, Jesus, again, 41 on 19 shots. This guy is killing it in the postseason. We had the poll up. We talked about it on this morning's podcast on No Dunks. Of the four main stars left on each team in the conference finals, Curry, Luka, Tatum, and Butler, you know, who's the best? And Butler didn't get a lot of votes. Which is okay. Those three other guys have been amazing and are amazing, and one's a Hall of Famer in Curry, and you know, Luka, what a run he's on, Tatum as well. But holy crap, Jimmy is just working hard and being the man, as they're saying in the stream team. You know it. You listen to the show. It's all he wants to do. Just put hoodie on. Jesus. What a shot when he hit that over Tatum, though. A little fadeaway. Like, played perfectly by Tatum on defense. I mean, just what a shot. And then look into the crowd. Classic Jimmy. He's doing it again. He did this in the bubble, but it was like one of those things. It was like the bubble, man. It was perfectly suited to the Heat, we thought. And I think it was to some extent in their team and who was on their squad, led by Jimmy, being in this weird, just like we're just playing in empty gyms, basically. And I can just worry about my big face coffee, maybe catch a bass in the lake. Don't have to worry about anything else. Just really lock in here. No travel, you know, no fashion runway showing up to the arena. None of that crap. We just hoop. But yeah, he's doing it again, man. It's awesome. And look, he's played incredible before too. I mean, even the Sixers Raptors series, right, where they nearly pulled it off, but lost in seven. And then, that towel ended up happening right there. That's from the Raptors championship locker room. No big deal. Got a frame. No big deal. No big deal. But Jimmy's killing it. And he's when he's got it going, he's super fun to watch because he's, you know, a lot different than most players in the league where he's not, you know, he's hit threes this postseason. He always finds a way to hit more threes in the playoffs than he does the regular season, but that's not his game. And it wasn't tonight. 0-for-2. And I know, you know, Jeff Van Gundy had a boner talking about, oh my God, this guy. Yeah. No threes. We love it. Living at the line, 41 on 19 shots. So great game. Excited for this series. I mean, it ended up being a high scoring affair, but again, the defense felt really, really locked in for good stretches. And I think we're going to still see, you know, some lower scoring games than this, I guess. It's going to be probably in the lower hundreds, if not maybe a stinker or two from one of the sides that don't have like the three ball going. Celtics finished 11 for 34 from three. And the Heat, I mean, they're going to be so happy with that, matching them basically at 10 of 30. So better percentage from Miami and just one short. That's huge. That was another thing we talked about in our previews and predictions for that. Just the Heat trying to keep the little math equation as close as possible when it came to the three-pointers there. Because they give up a lot, like the Bucks during the regular season. They do give up a lot. And we saw what Celtics did against the Bucks, splashing a ton. If you guys have questions, other comments, drop them here. These won't be super long. You know, I'm already getting up to 20 minutes here as I blab on and on and on. If you're just joining us, hit the like button, subscribe to No Dunks, and make sure you join us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern when we do the deep dive. This is a splashing around in the shallow end. You know, this is basically you're in the shallow end, you're drinking. Let me have a sip. Tomorrow, yeah, we dive headfirst into this game and break it all down. I'll see if I have anything else I needed to address tonight with you guys. Maybe some random notes. Oh, did you notice? You know how they always show, usually ESPN games, but they always show fans walking into the arena for like big games, playoff games. And when they do, they generally try and show you, hey, here's some home fans, and then here are some away fans, right? I mean, they always try and do that. The jersey selection that they showed us for the two shots of fans like walking in the arena or in the concourse off the top of this game were amazing. The Birdman, Chris Anderson, we had some Heat fan rocking that. Wow. I was like, holy crap. Okay. Maybe not as insane, though, because, you know, the home team, these are diehard playoff fans. You're going to have some sicko jerseys. So, okay, Birdman. And then we saw what appeared to be an older woman. You can only see her from the back. Rocking the Bob koozie. Let's go. The ultimate throwback. The koozie jersey walking into the arena. So anyway, that made me laugh, and I had to throw it in my notes. Did like the little thing they did too, ESPN, to give them some credit. The showing old photos of previous Heat Celtics matchups. Like, I think, like, you know, there was a D Brown sighting. Like, I think they started in like 93, and then we saw a Zoe shot a little bit later in the 90s. And there's a Wade shot, Jimmy Butler channeling Wade there, getting to the line tonight. That was cool. I like that little touch. Keep that up. Well, maybe now they've, well, they didn't use them all, so maybe they'll now use more current photos. Hopefully they have the Getty Images account to pull that off. Hope they didn't burn through all of their licensed photos for game one. You don't want to do that. But that's all I got. Smart. We'll see what he's, his status is for game two. Horford, they're saying already, is like maybe not going to play, right? Because of, you know, COVID protocols here, which, my God, this team is going to need them. I think to they can obviously win this game. They can still win this series. Boston can, but we're going to see the impact of him inside, though. It's not like Bam had a monster game, because Time Lord played really well, and even Tice in his minutes wasn't getting cooked or anything like that, and chipped in, did shot well too, eight points, four or five shooting. But Bam with 10 and 4, so a quiet game from him, and only 4 attempts from the floor, got to the line 5 times, hit 4 of them. But just Horford and switchability, and really just being another shooter too out there that the Heat have to scramble and worry about when they're switching. And if he can continue to shoot like he did, at least in the Bucks series. But of the two, if I'm being honest, I think Smart is the one they miss way more. He's their Tucker. So, you know, he's going to slow Jimmy in theory. He's going to get an offensive foul call or two on Jimmy or on one of these guards attacking because he's sliding over and stepping. I mean, he's slick with it, and he plays his ass off. So I think they were missing Marcus Smart more than they were missing even Horford. They want them both back. And I'm just looking at Derek White. I mean, again, he started well. I thought he was sort of everywhere defensively, and then holy crap, it's like he wasn't even on the floor half the time. He only took 4 shots, hit 1. So didn't give them anything offensively. I thought he was great at the start of this game, and as he went away, I forgot he was playing. Jaylen Brown, the box score is going to be deceiving with him. 24 and 10, 3 assists. How much of that came in the fourth quarter? When he was given his best shot to get them back in the game, and again, they were sticking around. I don't have the fourth quarter breakdown. I'm not into the popcorn machine yet, but I am guessing a lot of that Jaylen Brown came in the fourth quarter. So he's going to have to be better from the jump and helping to stop the bleeding when the Heat, you know, do go on these runs. Will they have another 24-2 run in them? They've been great in third quarters here in the postseason, but that is one hell of a run against a great defensive team, even if they are missing some of their guys in Boston. Fun start. Love it. Let's call it there. I don't want to keep JD up all night. And he's already going to be a little upset because something happened with my recording. So we'll see if this even gets turned into an actual podcast. If not, I'll just go watch it here on YouTube like you guys are live in the stream team. Something happened. You know, I got to update my computer because my GarageBand, where I just usually recorded in the background, send the file to JD, just straight crapped out. It crapped out in like literally 30 seconds of this game, or this show, I should say. That's not great. Oh, I hope I didn't give JD just an hour extra of work here. But he's up for it, I'm sure. And then he'll be super, super cranky in the Classic Factory tomorrow. Fingers crossed, it's not too bad. Thanks again to everybody for joining me here live. We will see you at 10 a.m. Eastern from the Classic Factory, breaking down this game, talking a little bit more about the draft lottery, patting ourselves on the back for predicting the Magic would win the number one pick. I guess I pulled OKC when we just eventually all picked one. I mean, Trey was the official picker, so we did get it right. I had OKC who, jumped up a couple spots to get the number two there. So we'll see who's going to be going over one. We're not draft experts, but, you know, we'll try our best to relay what the experts, the actual draft experts, are saying at The Athletic in terms of who's going where, is Jabari number one overall? Is Chet going to the Thunder? Because they're building a bunch of super tall, lanky skeets there with Poku and him. Hey, we'll break it all down on tomorrow's show. But thanks again for everybody for joining me here tonight. Hit the like button, subscribe, and we will see you in mere hours when we're all together from the factory. Race the night, people.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.